During this Lenten season, Holy Mother Church has asked us to reflect on some of the most important covenants in the Old Testament as foreshadowing, prefiguring, and representing the covenant with Jesus in the New Testament. On the first Sunday of Lent, we discovered that Jesus is the new Noah who saves us through the waters of baptism in the ark of the Catholic Church. On the second Sunday of Lent, we found out that Jesus is the new Isaac who carries the wood on his shoulders and willingly consents to being sacrificed on Mount Moriah. Father Abraham is like God, our Heavenly Father, who loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only beloved son. And most importantly, Abraham, our father in faith, inspires us to believe in the resurrection from the dead. On the third Sunday of Lent, we learn that Jesus is the new Moses, who from the mountain gives us the new law of love and the blessings of the covenant, if only we follow his commandments. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole to save the people from death, so Jesus lifts up himself on the pole of the cross to save us from sin. And last Sunday we saw how Cyrus, king of Persia, is like Jesus, the king of the universe, who liberates and frees his people from exile and captivity to sin. Both King Cyrus and Jesus, the king, say, "You are free to go home and start your lives all over again." So now, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we see how God makes a new covenant with the house of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. Although God made a covenant with the people through Noah, they broke it. Although God made a covenant with the people through Abraham, they broke it. Although God made a covenant with the people through Moses, they broke it. Although God made a covenant with the Jews after the exile, they broke it, adding infidelity to infidelity and polluting the Lord's temple. So after all these broken covenants, God needs to make a new and eternal, everlasting covenant with his people because he's so patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but hoping that everyone might come to repentance. So in today's first reading, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah predicts, foreshadows, and prefigures the characteristics of the new covenant that God will make with his people. Now, there are three characteristics of this new covenant. First, God forgives and forgets. He says, "I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more." So not only does God forgive us for the times when we break his covenant and are unfaithful to our end of the covenant, he not only forgives us, but Jeremiah says in the new covenant, he will forget our sins. You remember, don't you, the story of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, that visitation nun at the Parly-le-Monial convent right smack dab in the heart of France. You remember her story, where in the 1600s, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque had visions of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And as a holy, pious nun, she doubted these visions, thinking that they were either from the devil or that they were in her own mind. So she confided in her spiritual director, the Jesuit priest, St. Claude de la Colombière. And he said, how are we going to figure this out? He said, "I know. I want you to go to Jesus and ask you to tell him my sins that I confessed in my last confession," which only Jesus would know. And St. Margaret Mary says, sure, no problem. So she goes to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, and she says, Lord, just to be sure that it's you, my spiritual director would like you to tell me the sins that he confessed in his last confession. And Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary, I don't remember. And then they knew it was really Jesus. I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. Okay, the second characteristic of a covenant is that God is going to write the new covenant on our hearts. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. How did God write the first covenant? The Bible says that God wrote his commandments with his own finger on two tablets of stone. But in the new covenant, God writes his law with his finger on our heart. That means that the new covenant is not exterior and imposed upon us from the outside, but interior. I will place my law within them. And so in the new covenant, we internalize the law. It becomes a part of us. It's in our blood. It's in our veins, if it's written in our heart, right? And with God's law in our blood, in our veins, his commandments become second nature to us. They become good habits, which is the definition of a virtue. And most importantly, it's written on our hearts, not our minds. Because God wants us not only to know his law, but to love his law. And so in the new covenant, there's no complaining against God's law because it's written on our hearts. And so we love his law day and night. All right, the final condition of the new covenant is, interestingly, the exact same as every other covenant that God made in the Bible. Jeremiah tells us, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the very definition of a covenant throughout the entire Bible. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be his God, and he will be my son. All of my students know that there's a big difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract is an exchange of things where you say, this is yours and this is mine, right? So you say, okay, I'll sign a contract. I give you 40 hours of work a week, and in exchange, you give me a paycheck. No 40 hours of work, no paycheck. That's a contract, right? A contract. Me give you corn. You give me fur. No corn, no furs. It's a contract. It's an exchange of things. You say, this is yours and this is mine. But a covenant is not an exchange of things. A covenant is an exchange of persons. In a covenant, you don't say, this is yours and this is mine. In a covenant, you say, I am yours, and you are mine. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. So in a covenant, both persons say, I will not give you a rose or a sunset or a tree. In a covenant, you say, I give you me. A covenant is a total self-gift. The word covenant is so important that it is the one word that summarizes the whole Bible. Did you know you can summarize the whole Bible, what it's all about, in one word? And the word is covenant. And what I'm saying would make sense if you remember from your Latin class 101 what the Latin word is for covenant. Do you remember? The Latin word for covenant is testamenti. Testament is the Latin word for covenant. That's what the whole Bible's about. It's about an Old Testament, an old covenant that God made with his people, and the New Testament, the new covenant that God makes with his people in the person of Jesus Christ. And the word covenant is so important that Jesus only uses the word covenant one time. That's it, once. And if I tell you that, you know when he said it. Easy, right? This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. The new covenant is sealed not with the blood of goats and bulls or rams, but with the blood of a lamb, with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And Jesus gives himself completely and totally to us. All of his body, all of his blood, all of his soul, all of his divinity. Jesus says, I give myself all to you freely and totally and faithfully. Jesus says, won't you please give all of yourself to me freely and totally and faithfully? But the choice is ours. We have total freedom to do as we wish. But if we're willing to give ourselves completely, totally, freely, and faithfully to Jesus, then we enter into a sacred covenant with him. And he says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I am yours, and you are mine.